We are happy to welcome back to the program one of her favorites on the show. She'll be coming to Maine for a couple of performances in mid-July. Comedian Paula Poundstone joins us.
Hey, Rich, how are you?
I am fabulous. How are you today?
I'm good enough, thanks.
Fabulous, fabulous. Well, first of all, congratulations. First time to talk to you in person about it, on being chosen to the first class of our Downtown Hall of Fame. It's a pretty elite group.
Well, it is. I'm very honored to be among such company. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And you know, I had to, who was it? Oh, Mike Farrell, who also made it into the hall, said that you two were friends. He was pretty excited about that.
We are. We're good friends, actually. Yeah, I started out just a humble fan of MASH, and then I met him at some event. We do stuff together occasionally. Very good guy.
Nice.
A guy who's taken all his fame and used it for excellent things, right?
Absolutely.
Very good guy.
No question about
that.
So
I was just, I have a podcast.
Right. Nobody listens to
Paula Poundstone. Yes. Yeah. And one of the beloved features of the podcast, I don't know by whom, but beloved by me, is I used to do a vocabulary song where every week I introduced a new vocabulary word.
Right.
And then I put in the vocabulary song where it stayed for 4 weeks. And then in more recent, I did that for about 4 years. And more recently, I've been testing my coworkers on the words, because one of the things that I realized is that I can't remember the definitions. And so I've been testing my coworkers, and if for each answer they get correct, I've drawn these portraits of them that I add on body parts to for each answer they get correct. and wow. We just taped, fortunately, I just was working on the for almost professional portrait, and then I take a picture of it and I send it to Julie, the producer. And she posts it on Facebook. And I put little word balloons coming out of their mouths and stuff. And so I had just finished doing it. I had just taken the picture. I was laying on the floor of my bedroom. And I have one cat that lives in my bedroom. And I hear her throwing up, but I can't tell where she is. And I look over, and she threw up on my beautiful portrait.
Oh.
Yeah. God. Yeah. Cats.
So
yeah.
Is she an art critic?
Is she what?
Is she an art critic?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah, you know, and actually the word the word was pulchritude. So I'm using vocabulary words that we've had before, but I'm trying to see if they can still remember the. And the answer is no. No one does, except for my partner Adam. But so she either threw up on it because of the word pulchritude, which means beauty, by the way.
Right.
Or she's an art critic. just one. You know, you're living your life, right? You're getting through your day, trying to get stuff done, trying to go to bed at night with, you know, some feeling of accomplishment. And then your cat who lives in your bedroom throws up on your portraits. It's not right.
Isn't that the worst feeling, though, for someone who has cats or dogs or any animal, to hear that noise and not know where they are?
Yeah. Although in my house, honestly, it doesn't much matter anymore. I've ceded a lot of ground to pets at this point. For example, because there's just something about them that's kind of gross. But I did used to own some upholstered chairs, but I also used to live in a house that I could put in a door to the living room so that pets didn't go in there. And so you could have nice things, as my mother used to say. But this house that I live in now, I rent, and it's not like I can, you know, it's not like you can modify the dwelling. So I just gave up on upholstered furniture, and I got Adirondack chairs.
There you go. They're all weather. Yeah. They can handle anything.
That's exactly right. So they're not terribly comfortable, but that's good because that just makes me lounge less. Keeps me more active, more busy.
There you go, doing those improvements. Could I, Paula, I'm in reasonably good shape for a man of my advanced years. Could I do a Russian twist without hurting myself?
I think so. All right, so the Russian twist is you are sitting on the floor on your butt, but kind of leaned back. So that nothing but your butt is on the floor, right?
Okay.
So it's like a fulcrum. And you're not in a V. You try to extend as much as you can without putting your legs down, you know, or without putting your back down. You then turn with the upper part of your body. I used to do it where I just turned to the left and I touched the rug with both hands, and then I turned to the right and I touched the rug with both hands. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a Russian twist. I now am doing it while holding an 8-pound ball.
Oh. Now, and, are your knees bent or are your legs straight out?
My knees are bent. I think you get more out of it when they are extended more. And so I sort of try to extend them, but with varying degrees of success. So, you know, I get from it what I can without, you know, I'm not in the Marines.
We're talking with Paula Poundstone.
I'm not Richard Gere.
No, so, not yet.
But yeah, that's funny because I don't know where I learned that exercise. I don't know where I learned it, but I just thought everybody knew what it was. But I do get a lot of people on Twitter asking me what a Russian twist is.
I thought it was a drink with vodka and lemon. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's grueling, by the way.
Paula, do you have, speaking of your home, do you have any classified documents scattered about in your house? They're everywhere these days.
Honestly, aren't they? excuse me, I have allergies. You know, I do have a lot of papers in my room, so there is a possibility. But if the FBI or the National Archives wants to come here and look, I would welcome them. I think they'd be wise to wear some sort of masks for the dust, but they would be welcome to come. Sorry, that's good for radio, isn't it? I am not a murderer, but I have saved, I don't know, some memorabilia from, for example, from my education. When I was growing up, my parents, when I was in kindergarten, I think, or maybe the first grade, they gave to me and each of my siblings a little book called School Days. And it's a spiral book of folders, and each folder has a slot for memorabilia from that school year. And it has like a place for your school picture, and it has these lines that say, you know, new friends and that sort of thing. Well, because I received it in, I think it was in the first grade, actually, when I got it, I actually went to the trouble all those years of saving stuff and putting it in there. Whereas the kids in my family who are a little bit older didn't view it with the same values that I did. But anyways, so.
Well, and some of these, you've posted some of these on your website, right? I was, I'm reading right now. Right.
On my website, there's my academic review.
Is it Mrs. Right. Canfield, and who was not impressed with your ability to work independently?
No. I had very few of my teachers were ever impressed with me. The only one who ever was Mrs. Bump, my kindergarten teacher. She kept a good thought for me. So recently, we had been in touch years ago. It had been many, many years. And honestly, I sort of assumed that she might have passed. And I recently got an email on my public email from her.
Wow.
The subject line was, I'm still alive. And so and she was a terrific kindergarten teacher, by the way. And so I looked through my school days book and I found a picture that was colored in by and drawn by my kindergarten class. And I think I went home sick that day or something. So it was this group project, but I think because I went home sick that day, Mrs. Bump gave it to me.
Oh.
And like as a little, you know, a little kindness from the classroom. And I still have it. And so I took a picture of it, sent it to her the other day. She must have thought that I was kind of a nutter. But, yeah, anyways.
Well, she appreciated.
Back then, they didn't have a report card for kindergarten. But the teacher wrote a summary letter.
I'm reading that.
Quite detailed.
Right. She appreciated your humorous comments and your stick-to-itiveness.
That is correct. She said, I have enjoyed many of Paula's humorous comments about our activities. Whereas Mrs. Canfield, not so much. Didn't enjoy any of my humorous comments.
And isn't that's the mark of a good teacher if they do understand and appreciate your humor.
Yeah, yeah, they really didn't. I you know, there's one teacher, and she could be up in Maine for all I know. She was Miss DeLorme, and then she got married and became Miss Loftus.
Oh.
And she was our Spanish teacher in the eighth grade, and it was her first year of teaching, I think. And there were some other circumstances. Class control was not her strength. And our class was horribly behaved. And I was certainly a part of that. And so I've always wanted to find her to apologize. I remember one day we were so badly behaved that she just put her head down on her desk and kept saying, "Poor Kay. Poor Kay." And we were such lousy Spanish students. We just wondered what happened to Kay.
Yes. Did you, when you were like kindergarten, did you have to take a nap as part of your school day?
No, thank goodness.
Because I got in trouble for that, and I did not want a nap at 5 years old. And my very stern teacher who, boy, she seemed like 100 years old. She was probably 30 at the time, but she looked at me and said, "Why aren't you napping?" And I said, "I do my sleeping at night, ma'am." And she did not take kindly to that. Yeah, that didn't go well.
She didn't like that?
No, no.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's like people who want to go to a 4-day work week. Come on, get in there and do your thing. No more of these naps. No more of these times off. Lynn, you know what? You would have been comforted with this thought when you were young. Lyndon Johnson used to nap.
Exactly.
Do you remember the little black and white newsreel thing where it's a day in the life of the president? And it showed him laying down to nap. And it showed Lady Bird putting a blanket over him.
That was after his
juice and cookies, I think, and just before they went outside to play.
Right, right. Then they didn't show is what we learned later, that he would sit on the toilet and while he was there, call in aides to talk to them while he was doing his business.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He also, there's a really funny audio of him talking to, like, a guy that was making his suit.
Yes.
He's talking on the phone, and he talks about how he needs it long in the rise, and he wants to make sure that the pockets are deep enough that when he sits down, his knife doesn't fall out.
Oh, Those are concerns of people in 1965, apparently. Paula Poundstone going to be here in Maine, not one, but two shows, July 14th at Jonathan's in Ogunquit and July 15th at the Stone Mountain Arts Center in Brownfield. Please bring some sunshine our way. We're in the midst of our June gloom here. We haven't seen the sun in forever.
Oh, that's like us, although it just peaked out now, but it's got to be the same thing all over the country. And I was just in Alaska, and they said the same thing, that they've hardly had sun. Maybe it is me. Maybe it's something I'm doing. You know, apparently we shifted the Earth's axis. Did you see that news report?
Yes. Yeah, that was a bit disturbing. It didn't seem like a good thing.
It's really disturbing. And by the way, isn't that going to make compasses inaccurate?
I would think so.
I'm saying it like I know anything about all this stuff. I just recently found out that the Earth isn't actually on a stick, like a globe. all this is new to me. And it's because we've pumped so much groundwater. I didn't know we weren't supposed to pump groundwater. It's Helen Keller's fault. That's whose fault it is.
What, Helen Keller's fault? Oh, from Miracle Worker.
She pumps the water.
Right, right.
Yeah, and Ann Sullivan ran out and said, stop it. You're tilting the earth. Stop it. Stop it. It's a part of history that not a lot of people know.
No,
don't look it up.
That's why we turn to you.
What you do, don't look it up.
No, we don't need to. You are the source authority on such matters. Oh, I have to ask you this. What's the story? You explained it briefly on Twitter to me. You and Mickey Dolan's cat. Did you give Mickey a cat?
I did. A while ago, I started following Mickey Dolenz on Twitter, and I don't know, I just had, you know, he's the last monkey. Mm. And he's a sweet guy. And so I used to write to him on Twitter every so often, just sort of check in, see how he's doing. And it was a little getting to know you period. So I said to him in a tweet, I said, you know, do you have pets? And he said, no, I travel too much to have pets. And so I said, well, I tell you what, I will give you a cat and I will keep it and take care of it here in my house for you. And so every now and then I send him a picture of his cat. And by the way, that was his cat who threw up on my professional portraits. So I'm going to sue the heck out of Mickey Dolenz.
Put that cat on the last train to Clarksville.
Yeah, yeah. Daydream believer. Believe this, Mickey Dolenz.
Paula, it's great to talk with you as always. Thanks so much for being with us. Look forward to the shows here in Maine, July 14th and 15th. Travel safely, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Thanks so much. Take care.